It's the Dubai Property Podcast for news, interviews and market trends.
And welcome back to another episode of the Dubai Property Podcast, talking real estate right around the UAE as we do every week multiple times and available to you on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts from, including Amazon. And it's a Thursday morning with the week slipping by, the 14th day of March today. I hope your UAE real estate week has been a good one. Not only do we have the real estate consumers listening to the Dubai Property Podcast, but also many real estate agents from within the UAE and outside of it, with some of you deciding to move to Dubai to launch a brand new real estate career. So if you have just landed in the last few days, ready to start that real estate career, good luck to you. And talking of real estate agents, don't forget on Saturday we have another edition of the Dubai Property Market Update brought to you by Axe Capital with our panel Michael Doyle, Lillian Le Campion and Mario Volpe, all pretty keen to tell us what has been happening in the marketplace over the last week. Now, we've got some more of your emails that have come through. We are saying good morning to Warren and Denny in Maine from the US, where they're listeners and thinking about moving to Dubai in the foreseeable future is how they describe it. Thank you for your email. Also, Judy from Kent, who is living in the Netherlands. Now, she wrote in to say that she's listening and made the comment that she loves listening to Lillian's real estate journey. And I'm sure that Lillian, Judy, is going to be pleased to hear that. And Brian in Alberta, Canada, also a listener, letting us know that he's tuned in every week and thinks that by the end of 2024, he is going to fly in to look at potentially buying an apartment. So thank you, Brian. So keep those emails coming in. We love to hear from you. And it looks like the uptick in those emails to tell us where you're listening from is a result of that 10-day challenge that we threw out to you to let us know where you are listening to us from. Well, some of the commentators are saying that Dubai's real estate market is poised for a little bit of a shift this year, with apartment prices expected to stabilize while luxury villas and townhouses surge. Some are saying that the influx of the new supply will temper overall price growth to about 5%, offering buyers attractive deals. And while global economic factors may influence the market, the UAE's stability still remains a key draw for investors. Despite a potential correction in the apartment sector, demand for upscale properties continues to rise, buoyed pretty much by the unique amenities and limited availability. And there is certainly plenty of that stuff in the market.
It's the Dubai Property Podcast for news, interviews and market trends. What to buy, where to live and things to avoid every week on the Dubai Property Podcast.
And this morning we are catching up once again with Michael Waters. He is a professor there at Heriot Watt University. He's always great to pick his brain about real estate in Dubai. And a very good morning to you, Michael. Welcome back to the Dubai Property Podcast.
Yeah, good morning, Craig. Thank you for having me back.
How's the post-grad master program going since we last spoke? I think we spoke about a month ago and you were a month in with your new students there, teaching them all about real estate.
We're at the panic part of the semester, so they're entering coursework exams and all the exciting things of academic life about, you know, handing dates and deadlines. So yeah, they've got their heads down, working hard, and we're helping them as much as we can.
You know, as far as data is concerned, how much of that sort of plays with the post-grad master's program that you do run there? I guess you run the numbers clearly.
Yeah, we have a few courses, so for example, a course that I lead on in real estate development, we take them through a live project in Dubai, a schematic property development where they need to advise this developer on what to build, unit types, what's in demand, of course, a pricing strategy, as well as managing the development risk throughout that. So the financials that they do on that course does get them involved heavily with data, and we have the main providers come in and speak to the students and show them their platforms, and they take sort of some of the case study information from those sources as well. So it is very important that we align the students to the real world and all the challenges that that brings as well. It's not just clicking buttons and finding all the information you need and the job's done. There's a lot of proxy analysis that has to go behind the information to give the best advice.
So you get the developers, I take it, some of these developers are coming in, they're talking to the students, and do you take them out onto development sites that are actually in progress for them to walk through, have a look at the construction? Does that take place?
Yeah, so we try and keep these case studies, the classroom activities, as live as possible. Where possible, we undertake site visits, whether those are completed buildings to look at, you know, what's going on, what's a flagship good example of a commercial tower in Dubai, or in the case that we've just mentioned, at least getting them to walk around and understand the site logistics when thinking about new development.
And just coming back to the data side, now, last year we spoke to a couple of these companies, new entrants as far as data is concerned for the real estate market in the UAE. Are you surprised or not surprised by the number of new entrants when it comes to data offerings?
No, I'm not surprised. It's part of the evolution, I think, of the market. And I think more data, more accessibility, and the platforms giving information that's actually usable by investors and end users to make informed decisions is really important, you know, to carry trust and professionalism in the market. So we've got a lot more robust information, as we said previously, for investors and buyers to make decisions about their purchase. And therefore, that means that it's easier for the parties. You know, no longer can we hide behind aspirational prices. If I'm bidding on a 3-bedroom in the marina in a particular tower, it wouldn't take me too long to find out what the recent sales were. There's good agents out there that provide that to clients, but also as an individual, we can also find that ourselves. So that really does allow people to make much more informed decisions, trust what's going on in the market, see the price history as well, understand where prices have gone before bidding in the current cycle. It's all really good information out there. So I'm not surprised that they've come. There's some new variants on the information there. So we start to get more granular detail, which is really important by some of the providers, you know, unit numbers, even though it's on a select number of transactions, unit numbers, floor heights, those kind of things also help inform people much more about the opportunity when buying particularly attractive units, those that have good views or at a good floor height, and make sense of exactly that price difference between a particular building or group of buildings in a district in the market.
Mm. And last time that we spoke last year about data, gee, things have really sort of moved on with the AI. And it's kind of scary, I guess, just how much more, when you talk of granular, the AI is able to do. And of course, the maturing market, which we have covered on the podcast, because we had some people write into the podcast saying, can you explain what the maturing market is? So the more mature the market, the more data we've got, and then you can go granular. And then on top of that, you've got the AI, which is just powering it along.
Yeah, I mean, it does a lot of the data scoping for us. So AI is useful in terms of providing new forms of information and predictive technology to try not to find the best or potentially good investments. We've always got to remember, as humans or through technology, we only have the best intentions. We can look at information currently to try and find where the opportunities lie. It's not a guarantee. So we still need to look at it, I think, from a, do I understand what these numbers mean? And is the opportunity, you know, what are the risks? And all those things, I guess, a more pessimistic academic might look at. It certainly allows people to access information more readily. It's knowing what those numbers mean and applying it to the to the decision, which is still very important.
What do you say to people listening to the podcast this morning around this whole predictive information that is being offered, AI predictive information? In a way, it's kind of like a set of modeling data through the AI. And then, of course, they're charging, some can charge for a premium for this predictive modeling. What do you say about all of that? Because it's so new, isn't it, the technology around this AI for real estate?
Yeah, it is new, and where there's, I mean, where the benefits are, again, we think about efficiency, better informed decisions, better transparency. We've just got to make sure that we don't mislead clients, I guess would be my only swing there, where we try and look at, you know, predictive forecasts of price gains that you might get in the future. You know, how that's presented to the client, again, is important, because of course we can look back and simulate what's happened before. And as we all know, that may or may not be the case when we move through the future. So I still think you've got to understand your personal situation, as we spoke about last time, about, you know, taking on leverage, being able to carry the investment through a good cycle and a bad cycle, so that you've got longevity, so that it matches the asset, which is look at real estate mid to long term, and you've got a higher percentage chance of doing well investing here.
Yeah, and then you've also sort of got to take into consideration the geopolitical landscape, and that is such a big issue. Boy, is it ever, if you look at the geopolitical situation that we have endured over the last few years, so important when it comes to predictions, any form of economic forecasting too.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the moment, Dubai's been that sort of investment safe haven for a lot of the things that have been going on globally, and it's been a net beneficiary of all of that. Yeah, there's a lot of risks that we try and look at and understand. You know, what's really damaging to investments are the things that we've not thought about. So, yeah, we can be the best economists and the best forecasters, but unfortunately, the things that shake our investments are the things that we've not even given much thought to. So, in some ways, out of our hands, we just have to prepare ourselves to sort of have emotional, behavioral, and financial control over these investments.
Yeah, if we're sideswiped, I guess we just have to suck it up, don't we? You know, in terms of, oh boy, that came out of nowhere, but we've got to get on. Like if we've got mortgages, we've got to keep paying the mortgages. They don't disappear as a result of something that's clobbered us. Michael, great to catch up with you once again and find out how you're going, especially there at Heriot Watt University. Good luck with that intake, that batch of students that you've got, and I look forward to chatting later in the year.
Yep, thank you so much, and it's always a pleasure. Thank you, Craig.
What to buy, where to live, and things to avoid every week on the Dubai Property Podcast.
Okay, so we're looking at a property. What's the minimum investment that I can make?
It's 500 dirhams. It's as low as that. The reason we set it low is to enable anyone to invest. We don't want to stop real estate being in the hands of individuals that want to see the benefits of it. For a long time, we've all known that if you invest in real estate, you get good returns. We all know that. We're in the real estate market here. From a very early age, you buy houses, you buy properties. If you can, you then buy another one and you rent it out, and you are just set for life. This is enabling people that can't afford that second property in its entirety to still get the returns from it. If you own 10% of a property, you get 10% of the returns.
The skyline is constantly changing, growing, and expanding. The Dubai Property Podcast for all things real estate.